really meant. There was no obvious successor to take care of her beloved animals. And Annalene's best idea, letting the people who rented the critters today keep them, wasn't sitting well with Callie. It wasn't sitting well with Annalene either. Walking through the shop, she saw them all there. Bomer, at his table with his mug. Lily, hastily addressing another stack of boxes. Even Herbally Napty, counting buttons out loud as she rummaged through a drawer filled with second-hand clothes. How could she leave all this? She could imagine her mother's voice in her head. What could Annalene be thinking? She cared for Ben, yes, more deeply than she'd imagined possible at this stage. No one else had measured up to Dan or Calwell. But did Ben really expect her to give up everything, just on the prospect of bad times ahead? Nella Thaney would turn her daughter right back to the garages. She'd have Annalene tell Glomer it was a joke, and he'd forget it. The mechanic didn't understand humor anyway. Annalene might not even have to protect her family from fallout at all. From the side door, she could see Orin, a smile on his face as he talked to Ulbrich. Orin would find a way to fix his troubles. He always did. And Ben faced no danger. Orin was just a blowhard. Why go through with this? Annalene already knew why. She knew, and it had swept all doubts away. All that remained was seeing what Orin had planned. She slipped outside the claim to watch the spectacle. It was easy to hide in the crowd. The mob was the largest she'd seen. It wasn't just the regular vigilantes now. While Ulbrich's land speeders sat packed with farmhands, parked along the western dune, Mullen and Vika were passing weapons to the riders. Annalene wondered how Orin could even be seen in the crowd, much less make himself heard. She soon found out.
"Everyone listen up!"
Orin bellowed. Annalene looked up. Orin had climbed the service ladder and was clinging to old number one. With his free hand, he held to his mouth a loud hailer, a portable amplifier that boomed his voice across the parking area.
"This is a big day, and a terrible day. One of us has turned traitor."
A buzz went through the armed crowd. A traitor? Here?
"Well, don't worry. He's not one of us. You're all good people, but you know him. Ben Kenobi."
Annalene gulped for air. The name Callie had overheard was suddenly on everyone's lips.
"You heard right,"
Orin said, speaking through the green metal device.
"You may have seen him coming around, may have heard people talk. Crazy Ben, someone called him. Living in the desert, talking to himself. Well, he's crazy, all right. He's a Tusken lover."
"No!" Annalene heard someone shout.
"I know. Hard to believe any settler would help those monsters. But here's what we know. Kenobi popped up here right after Plug Eye's day raid started. He ran out of the store after his first visit without even taking what he bought. And the next time we saw him, the Tuskens attacked the claim."
His voice rose.
"He was here when they attacked, but he didn't fight them. Then he supposedly saved Annie Calwell from Plug Eye by talking to the Tuskens. Talking to them."
The crowd rumbled with shock. "Talking to Tuskens? Impossible."
"I hear you,"
Orin said, lowering his pitch.
"But it makes sense. No barbarian could figure out the settler's call, right? Well, Kenobi helped him. He'd heard me talking into Clayne. He knew Ulbrich's ranch was the only place that wasn't covered."
He nodded in Ulbrich's direction below.
"Well, the Tuskens stole a vaporator unit from Master Ulbrich a couple of days ago. And then last night they hit his home. And Kenobi was with them."
Annalene watched, hypnotized, as a farmhand set out a box for Wild to stand on. The old man seemed shaky.
"Galt is right," Ulbrich called out to the listeners. "I did see Kenobi, but he was scrapping with the Tuskies, I thought. I'm not sure. My Maggie was in trouble.
Because of Kenobi.
Orin quickly interjected.
Because of the sand people he brought there. I'm willing to bet old Ben was mad at his partners. He was there for Wiles' money, I'll wager, and the Tuskens don't care about money. They started fighting.
Another ripple in the crowd. Everyone knew about Ulbrich's fortune. Orin shook his head sadly so all could see his emotion.
This Kenobi, if that's even his name, I don't know him. He showed me one face, a false face. I don't know if he's a bandit or if he's gone Tusken, as crazy as that sounds. It doesn't matter. What matters is he's put good folks in jeopardy. And we're gonna stop him forever.
Blasters fired into the air. Annalene cringed. This wasn't what she'd expected at all. Ben had said Orin would round up some allies, but she'd expected more oafish farmhands of the Zed sort. This was something different. The Force was too large, and Orin was different, too. He was electric. Telling the vigilantes of Ben's hideout in the Jundland Wastes, a place no decent person would live, Orin sent a hateful energy through the gathering, rousing the crowd to action. He'd made the sale, jumping from the Wheedler to Warlord with a few words. She'd never seen anything like it, and certainly not from him. Orin hit his crescendo.
We take care of our own. So follow me and let's ride!
A raucous, angry cheer went up. Engines started, one after another, as more blasters went off. Annalene nearly dropped to her knees, life drained from her limbs. This couldn't have been what Ben was expecting. Who could have expected it? Orin shimmied down from the tower and turned. Mullen and Vika were waiting, holding a spread-open flak jacket. Orin stuck his arms out, and they dressed him in it like a warrior king. Stepping toward his USV-5, Orin spied Annalene. He winked and was off. Dust blew against the store as one blaster-bedecked speeder after another whizzed away. Watching helplessly, Annalene flashed for a moment on the retaliatory raid after the Oasis strike. That day, she'd grabbed the speeder bike and gone with Ben to follow Jabe. But now, it was Ben in danger. Ben, who'd saved Jabe. Ben, who'd told her in the night not to follow, that he could take care of Orin. Annalene looked back at the garages, mostly empty now but for her two land speeders.